I'd like to ask you to turn in your hymnal to song number 356. Before we sing this song, Brother Ron, hopefully you can help us here. I'd like to ask everyone to stand up, and I'd like for you to put your whole heart into singing this song. So please stand.
Tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep. Tis the crowning day, and the saints shall greet in that last great day. The trump will sound, the Lord return, and time no longer be. The world in judgment flames consume in that last great day. Oh, that last great day is coming very soon. 'Tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep. 'Tis the crowning day, and the saints shall greet in that last great day. So all who make this world their God can here no longer stay. Their fondest hopes will all have fled in that last great day. Oh, that last great day is coming very soon. 'Tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep. 'Tis the crowning day, and the saints shall greet in that last great day. The quick and dead o'er land and sea will leave their mortal clay and put on immortality in that last great day. Oh, that last great day is coming very soon. 'Tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep. 'Tis the crowning day, and the saints shall greet in that last great day. The church of God no more shall need this poor terrestrial home, for she shall dwell with Christ her head at the great white throne. Oh, that last great day is coming very soon. 'Tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep. 'Tis the crowning day, and the saints shall greet in that last great day.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, Didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat also. Let both grow together until harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus went on to explain this parable in verse 38. He says, The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. I want to ask you, are you ready for that day? The end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall gather them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Are you looking forward to that day? Oh, it will be a day of hope, a day of such joy for God's children. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mary Shalias was 25 years old when she was hitchhiking from Minneapolis to attend an art show in Chicago. It was 1974. John Miller picked Mary up, then fatally stabbed her. He left her body in a snowbank. He also left a stocking cap behind. For decades, it appeared that Miller would get away with his crime. In 2023, however, the Dunn County Sheriff's Office collaborated with genetic genealogists. By tracking family trees through ancestry databases, they connected the DNA from the stocking cap found at the crime scene directly to Miller. 50 years after the murder, detectives showed up at the door of Miller's assisted living facility. After detectives explained the DNA match, Miller confessed to his crime. And he was sentenced to life in prison. Miller was caught. He had gone so much of his life, perhaps thinking, I will never be caught. But judgment day came for Miller, and he was sentenced to life. How do you think murderers feel throughout their daily life? When they hear a knock on the door, how do you think a murderer feels? When he looks in his rearview mirror and sees a police officer following him, do you suppose there are any fears or thoughts that haunt the murderer? What about while he's walking down the street and a police officer just happens to look the murderer right in the eye and he's wondering, is this my time? Has my time finally came? John Miller's time finally came. Well, there are many murders that go unsolved. And witnesses pass away. And the people that may know anything about it. And the evidence, no more evidence comes in. And they call it a cold case. But through technology, some of these cold cases are starting to be solved. Thank God that justice is catching up with some of these folks. Well, that's murderers. They deserve to be caught, don't they? And I guess I could think, I've never hurt anybody. Really, I'm a pretty good person. Why, I give tithes of all that I possess. I attend church services. I do this, that, and the other. What about me? Am I going to be all right on Judgment Day? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew 12 and 36, I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Do you think all of us ought to be careful about the way that we live, knowing the fact that the signs of the time indicate the coming of the Lord could be at any time? We believe in the coming of the Lord, don't we? So we believe the Lord will come, there will be a judgment day. Then Lord, help us, all of us, those of us that are saved, that we will be very careful in the way that we live. And those that are not saved, it's a real good time to get ready before the knock comes on your door. What is that day going to be like? Have you ever thought about that? Some of us here remember 9/11. What year was it, 2001? I'm not sure. But we remember that day. That was such a horrible thing that took place that day. The planes crashing into the buildings and into the ground, and all of the trauma associated with that, all the human suffering. Let me tell you, that day is so minute compared to the last judgment day when this earth will be destroyed. So what is that day going to be like? Jesus told us, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was it like in the days of Noah? As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what were they doing before the destruction of the flood? Normal things of life. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And you know what's going to be happening on the day that the Lord calls this world into judgment? You know what would be happening? Will all the news media be saying, folks, get ready, it's coming in 6 hours. It's now 5 hours and 38 more minutes until the Lord comes. Get ready right now if you're not ready. Is that what's going to happen? You know, those kinds of things happen about tornadoes, about hurricanes, where there's warning. You know, the Lord wants us to take warning now from His Word, from what Jesus told us. He wants us to be taking shelter now in the ark. What's going to be happening on that day? People are going to be busy about their jobs. Bank robbers will be robbing banks. People are going to be slipping around at night, going to the nightclubs. People are going to be doing innocent things. They're going to be doing good works. They're going to be planting their gardens and all these, just normal life. And then so suddenly, the Lord will come. God help every one of us to be ready for that day. Peter described it like this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, far greater than planes crashing into buildings. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Is this the time to party? Is this the time to set our hearts on this world and what it has to offer? To see how advanced we can get in this life, this temporal world? Or is this a time to be preparing for that last great day? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to a place where you don't have to lock your doors? You don't have to worry about sickness and disease and all those things. It will be a joyful day for the saints. Beloved, seeing that you look for these such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Thank God we can be that way in this life. When we lived in Honduras, we had a mission school there, and I made paper mache models of the earth. And I gave a demonstration to the students. In my demonstration, I read them this account in Peter of the end of the world. And I poured gasoline over the earth, and I said, this represents the wickedness of the earth. And as I was reading this account, I had one of the brethren of the congregation up in the chapel with a sound system that the students didn't know, his brother with a nice deep voice. And at the appropriate time, he said, time shall be no longer. And at that time, I lit that world on fire, and poof, up it went in flames. And I tell you, those students were just, what do I call it? They were amazed. And there were some students that wanted to give their hearts to the Lord after that. And I hope that memory stays with them the rest of their life. Do you know this is a real event that is going to happen to this world? God help us as a church to be ready. God help our loved ones to come home before it is too late. Revelation 6 and 12. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon also became as blood. I have another Honduras memory. We had a neighbor boy who was deaf-mute. And as a result, his education level was very low. His understanding of natural events and all that time. We had a eclipse of the moon, and the moon changed to a dark color. And he was looking up at that moon and just, he was amazed. He was pointing at and making sounds. He didn't know what was going on. There are events on the last great day that will get the attention of everyone in this world. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. This universe will pass away. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And who all does this affect? The kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains. There are rich men today who have built themselves bunker-style houses. They are off-grid. They are stocked with food and ammunition and weaponry and sophisticated alarm systems. They're getting ready for disaster. But on this day, all of that is not going to do any good if it burns up. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? That's a question for us to consider this morning. God, am I ready to stand before You in the great judgment day? Jesus often spoke of judgment. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then began He to upbraid cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it should have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Lord God, have mercy on the United States of America. Which sin of Sodom is our country, our nation as a whole, not committing? Jesus said, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. I thought Sodom had already been judged. Didn't you? Do you remember what happened to Sodom? Genesis 18 and 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do? Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now, do you think the Lord is coming down to Guthrie today? Do you think He is coming down into our homes? Do you think He is observing every one of us and seeing if the cry is as great as what He has been hearing about? Genesis chapter 19, verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth and Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But His wife looked back from behind Him and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward the Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Now, this is judgment. Sodom has already been judged, hasn't it? Then why does Jesus say it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than for you? I would say there must be more than one judgment. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou are tormented. The rich man has already been judged, hasn't he? But yet there's coming a day that he will stand at the final judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So the question is, at the last great day, who is going to be judged? Is it going to be those that have already died? Is it going to be those who are still living on this earth? Who is going to be judged? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and shewed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. Jesus commanded the apostles, the disciples, to preach that Jesus is coming back as a judge. Do you think that message is still relevant today? Is it important today that we think about Judgment Day, or should we only be thinking about our portfolios, how the stock market is doing, who's going to win the ball game, hunting and fishing, farming? Are those the things that should preoccupy our minds? Or is it better to think about what is coming to this entire world? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So how are we going to be judged? According to the things that we have done in this life. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. But I thought we get to heaven by grace, not by works. I think we need to pay attention to both of those things, don't you? We need to have the grace of Jesus Christ. We need to have his forgiveness of our sins. But the works that we do in our life does make a difference on the judgment day. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if we consider what happens on Judgment Day, first of all, heaven and earth pass away. The dead will be judged by books that contain details of their works in their lives. That includes, who was it, Miller? He will be judged on that day. And every murderer that got away with it, it is a day of reckoning that they will be judged. On that day, those that are already in hell will be cast into a lake of fire. So, given our knowledge of the judgment of God, of Jesus Christ coming back to judge this world, what should you and I be doing? Jude 1 and 24, verse 24 of Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion, power both now and forever. Thank God he can keep us from falling. He can keep us ready for that judgment day. We should take hope in that. We should be... Judgment Day is not a day that has to fill us with horror. It can be a day of great hope. As long as we are living for the Lord, his blood is applied to our hearts. We're being obedient. We're careful about the works of our lives. Oh, what a day of joy that will be for us. 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. What should we be doing? If we know about the day of judgment coming, you suppose we ought to be getting ready? If people in Louisiana know that there is a hurricane coming, do you think they do something? They start putting plywood on the windows, don't they? What do folks here in Oklahoma do when they know a tornado is coming? Do they take any action? Well, some of us do. Some get in the shelters. Others may enjoy getting out and seeing how close they can get to the funnel to take some video or something. Lord, help us to be careful spiritually that we are taking proper precautions to be ready for the great judgment day that is coming. 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. For behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. After you sorrowed after a godly sort for the sins that you had committed, you were so sorry you ever did it. You forsook them. You were willing to never do those sins again. After that, what must you do? You must be careful about the way that you live. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. If there are wrongs to be made right, if there are stolen items that need to be restored, confessions that need to be made, Lord, help us. This is our time to get ready. Yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, and all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Jesus has already been to this earth. She shall bring forth his son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus came the first time as a Savior. And Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. That was the first coming of Jesus. He did not come as judge when he walked this earth. He came as Savior. Now is our time to take advantage of saving grace. Because the second time he comes, he's coming as judge. He's not coming to set up a kingdom on this earth. He's not coming to subject his enemies to revenge. He's coming to destroy this earth and to bring us all into judgment. Mark 13 and 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. That sounds like some of those other scriptures, doesn't it? And the stars of heaven shall fail. Jesus is prophesying what is going to happen at the end of this world. The powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. On that day, those who are preoccupied with something else, maybe it's their phone, maybe it is whatever it may be, do you think they're going to look up that day? They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and power. Then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. Oh, what a day. See, those angels are going to go out and do a harvesting of people. Remember the parable that Jesus gave earlier of the angels being the ones that gather the wicked ones out of the kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In Jerusalem? No. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, what a day of hope and joy. What a day of comfort. You're looking forward to seeing your loved ones that have already made it to heaven. What a wonderful day that will be. Someone mentioned about going to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. But I want to see him where I can look him in the face. I don't want to be worried about that knock coming on the door. I don't want to be worried, is tonight the night that the trumpets will sound? When I was an unsaved teenager, I used to pray at night, even though I was unsaved, Lord, please don't come tonight. Because I believed in the judgment. Because I knew the world would come to an end. And I knew that I was not ready. Thank God we can be ready. Today is a good time to examine ourselves, saints. It's a good time to just ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything else that I need to do to be ready for that great day? In the latter years of his life, my father fasted quite a bit as a self-examination and search. You know what he was doing? Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. To the saints, let us examine ourselves and be careful. Amen. To those that are not ready for that day, there is no crime that's not going to catch up with you someday. You know, the technology just amazes me. Databases with genealogy information in it. People who are smart and skilled, able to pull all this information together and prove beyond any doubt, absolutely, you are the person that was there. That's amazing. Did you know that God's knowledge far exceeds that technology? It's not just if we happen to have some DNA evidence. In this particular case, we can crack this cold case. God knows it all. He knows everything we've done in our lives. He knows every thought of our hearts. He knows whether or not our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows. And there is no crime, no sin that will escape the all-seeing eye of God. May God bless us here today.